All right, it's time for another agency spotlight, and today, this is one that I've been watching this guy for quite a while because he has it together. He puts the pieces together. He kind of marches to his own drummer and has really found a really good key to success and the way he does it, and does it in his own way with his own kind of message and his own kind of branding and positioning. And I just I love looking at what he's doing for himself and for his clients. So we will welcome Tim Davis. Tim, thanks for coming on to this spotlight and sharing what you're doing.
Hey, Jack, thanks for having me on today. This is going to be fun. I love to share and, you know, stuff that I've tried out and some things that have worked, and if people pick up an idea too, they can swipe from you. That'd be great.
Well, I love the attitude that you have, right? Because it really is. You've kind of taken some of the stuff that we've done. You've been doing this kind of stuff for a while, and we'll get into that with the positioning, but you've kind of integrated it into your own, you know, spun it your own way. And the way that you are positioning this, rather than, you know, authority, you're not really pushing that authority term in your marketing. I mean, obviously you're letting people know that you know, it's authority positioning, but you kind of broaden that out to a whole kind of personal branding. And let's start with your own branding, the marketing evangelist.
That's go ahead.
No. Well, that right there is something that a lot of people try to come up with their taglines or their you know what are they going to be known as? And you know, talking to you, that's not something that you necessarily came up with. It's kind of something that got pinned on you. So let's start back from the beginning on how you kind of just finally accepted that you were a marketing person, because you originally started off as a mortgage guy, right?
Sure. Yeah, I still work in that space today, coaching and training in that space. But yeah, you go back to getting out of college and, you know, trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life. And I got this degree in graphic design that was, you know, it just wasn't paying that much on the street, you know. And a buddy of mine called me up one day and said, "You're not going to believe how much money you can make, you know, writing mortgage loans." And he shared with me what he was making. And, you know, after, you know, 4 or 5 years of college, eating ramen noodles, living with 5 guys in an apartment, you know, if somebody gives you any kind of number that sounds decent at all to make a living, you're going to go for it. So I got into that business, and I hired a marketing coach probably 2 years into my career, because I was just struggling. You know, I was like every other person out there, schlepping mortgage loans, and there was no really anything that differentiated me from the guy or girl down the street. And I hired a marketing coach, and she really walked me through a lot of concepts back then that really piqued my interest. But the biggest one was, it didn't really matter who the best loan officer was, it mattered who the best marketer was. And that's a concept I use today, even in the seminars and trainings that I do. Whatever you're doing, you can get outdone by someone who's a better marketer than you.
You know that,
even though you're gifted and talented.
And I want to make sure that we really hit on that, because, you know, and being in the mortgage and even with the whole real estate industry that you work with agents, that is one of the most Me Too businesses there is, because you don't have a lot of latitude to, you know, you know, rates are going to be common. You know, there's a few things that can fluctuate, but it really is about giving them a reason to pick you, making people feel good about, you know, you being the person that's going to help them. And, you know, for you to figure that out early rather than just, you know, what I call scrubbing harder. Most people, well, I just got to make more calls and get in front of more people. It sounds like you learned that, well, there's a little bit more to it and maybe a better way to do that. So how do you, you know, when you first started, how did you position yourself as something outside of the Me Too when there wasn't a whole lot different in the actual product or service that you were delivering?
Right. So back in the early days, right, back when, before paved roads and, you know, the mail was delivered on horses, back in those days, what I decided to do is I looked at my consumer base, clients I'd already been working with, to see if I could find a group of people that really resonated with and I had a deeper connection with that went beyond just the transaction. And when I did that and isolated it down, I came up with entrepreneurs, people who were self-employed. I was just really intrigued by the various types of work that they did and how they organized their businesses and so on and so forth. And as I looked deeper at that, I thought, wow, you know, I get along with these people on a much deeper level than just helping them get their financing in order to buy their house. So I was a part of a networking group, a BNI group back then, and you know, you would gather together and everybody get a minute to give their 60-second infomercial, and you tell what you did, and everybody's infomercial sounded the same. And so I sat down with my marketing coach at the time and crafted a 60-second commercial that basically went something like this. Hey, my name's Tim Davis, and I work with people who are self-employed, and they're looking to get financing, but they're thinking to themselves, how in the world will an underwriter understand my tax returns, because I barely understand them? And if they don't understand this, how much paperwork and hassle and trouble is it going to be to get the mortgage loan? Because I've got a business to run. I don't have time to be sitting in a loan officer's office all day. But yet I still want to get this house. I still need this loan. So I'm frustrated and concerned, but I don't know who to turn to. So if you're self-employed or know somebody who is, I specialize in helping those people get through the process with no hoops and no hassles. And it took me a few weeks to kind of come up with something that tight-knit, but it was very focused on their pain and my solution to their pain. So I started saying that at networking groups, and it was amazing. People started coming up to me, and they said, man, I'm working with a guy down the street, and he does not understand my tax returns, but you say you do, and this is amazing. I'm glad I met you. And I got to tell you, when you go out there and you get over your fear of really micro-specializing, as you guys talk about all the time, and you say that to people, and then they return with business for your micro-specialization, you really get addicted to that pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, and you become the guy. You're the person in that, where most people think that, oh, if I did that, I'm going to be neglecting or ignoring so much other opportunity in business.
Sure.
You know, did you have any problem getting over that? Was it that hard to reconcile for you? Did you realize
it
that?
It was. Yeah, I mean, the first time I said it, I was very trepidatious about how I said it. I didn't really come with the ownership of it and the confidence of it. I sort of said it, you know, underneath my breath, like, oh, hey, I'm a mortgage guy, but if you're self-employed, I can help you. And oh, by the way, and kind of breezed over it real quick like that. But it just so happened at that meeting that I said it that way, there was a lady in the audience who was self-employed, who needed financing, and caught my trepidation and said, oh, you understand me. And she came up to me afterwards, and that was the validation to help me step up the ownership of it to another level. Because in the beginning, I still was fearful. I was like, man, I know my coach is telling me this, and I hear this all the time, but geez, I'm going to miss out on all this other stuff. So the first time I said it was really kind of like underneath my breath. But I said it loud enough that somebody caught it and came to me afterwards, and that was the hook that got me to thinking, okay, I need to own this at a higher level.
Yeah, that's the first step of the inside the mind of your prospects, is to address that, does Tim understand my problem? And when you said that, well, anybody that was in that situation immediately resonated with, oh, wow, okay, now this guy understands my problem.
Exactly. So after that was, you know, just continuing to build my self-confidence in it. You know, the mind would continue to tell me, don't do that because you're going to miss everything else. But the results of it were totally different. So my results were different than this conversation I was having inside my mind. So it was this constant, like, working to overcome this internal conversation that it didn't work with the proof and the facts that it did work. And, you know, over a few months, I really started to own it more and more, to the point where I started to put it on all my email signatures. My business card reflected that. My personal brochure reflected that. And this is really when I started to get into the whole idea of personal branding, everything from your, you know, your professional image to your professional logo and the graphics and how you represented yourself that way, to copywriting, to eventually producing audio CDs and writing books and things of that nature. But this is the very beginning of it. The very beginning of it was saying it underneath my breath at a networking event and having somebody go, you can help me.
Yeah, and so that gave you the fuel to I guess, move forward and say, okay, yeah, this is who I am. Let's take this a little further.
Without a doubt. So as I started to integrate it into more of my collateral online and offline marketing materials, as well as my networking and going out and speaking to people and telling them exactly what I did, and I started to get more and more results, and that continued to build the confidence, and I really got to own it. The 1 year I owned it, like what I would say full out, my business grew 161% in 1 year.
Wow.
And I was like loving life. I'm like, man, this is the best thing since sliced bread. My competitors are sitting there struggling to get business, and I've unlocked this little secret that I'm not going to share with anybody. And they continue to think I'm dumb for promoting this one product, but yet I'm raking in all these opportunities and serving all these clients. So it just worked out really, really well.
Well, I'd say so. I mean, so I just want to hit those numbers again. Business grew 161% by ignoring the majority of what most people felt the market is.
Completely. I would get phone calls from people I had never met. In my industry, in the mortgage space, meeting real estate agents is probably the number one thing loan officers want to do. And it's also the most difficult thing they have to do because agents are called on by every loan officer out there. So how do you be different? How do you separate yourself? How do you attract the agent? Well, my niche, right, my micro specialization of working with people that were self-employed and having it on all my collateral material, I think that's really important. Like, when I say ownership, I mean you have to own it. You get up, you live it, breathe it, need it throughout the entire day. What would happen is the phone would ring and it would be, you know, Sally Real Estate Agent. Well, I didn't know who Sally Real Estate Agent was. Never heard of her, never called on her. She wasn't on a prospecting list or anything like that. And I'd get on the phone with her and she'd say, "Hey, Tim, you know, Jack Mines in my office. I asked him, I had the self-employed customer, and I asked Jack if he knew anybody who could help him. And he said, yeah, you could help him, that you specialized in it." I'm like, "Well, sure, that's exactly what I do." And then I would start a new relationship with her. So I was getting all these brand new relationships just from this viralness in the marketplace of people going, "Hey, if you're self-employed, you call Tim. He'll get you a mortgage."
Well, that's huge, because moving from, you know, just a consumer finding out about that this is what you do to finding real estate agents, because then you know that's multi-touch to one relationship. And obviously, real estate agents don't get paid unless their clients close on a house, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a huge investment financially in their client closing. So if they have a self-employed client, they want to actually have maybe have some influence on who they use for their mortgage or their loans to make sure that they have the highest expectation of closing that. And so when you have real estate agents that understand that that's the problem you solve, then you have almost an army of sales, if not referrals, out there.
I called it my commission-free sales force.
Yeah, that's a perfect one.
And they would. They would refer me because ultimately I served them. And here's another thing that, you know, looking back on it and thinking through it on a deeper level, I was really addressing what they felt like was a perceived problem. I wasn't the only game in town that could do that. It was back in the day, in the mortgage lending space, you really didn't even have to verify your income to get a loan. So, but yet the self-employed people were still, they still perceived that it was this gigantic hurdle to cross in order to get financing accomplished. So I just worked to their perception that it was difficult, and I had the answer, but everybody else in town had the answer too. You could have gone and got that same mortgage from anybody else in town that you got from me. The big difference was I just had a big mouth and was telling everybody you only got it from me.
Yeah, and you position yourself right to be able to do that. So let's talk about how you became, you know, when you started, people started tagging you with this marketing evangelist, because you know, you're such a reserved guy. Have you ever thought about, you know, getting some loud shirts or jackets or shoes?
I'm trying to get outside my shell. I'm really an introvert.
So obviously you weren't this guy from the get-go, right? When you were, you know, saying under your breath that you were the specialist in this. So kind of move us along to how you evolved from, you know, Tim Davis to the, by the way, I can, you know, help you out if you have, if you're self-employed, to the marketing evangelist, you cannot ignore me because here I am.
Yeah. So what happened was I always felt like that business moved very quickly, and if you weren't on the cutting edge of stuff, you could really get left behind. It's kind of the what's the great philosopher from the movies? If you're not first, you're last. What was that movie, that race car movie?
Oh, yeah.
Can't think of his name right now. But I always felt like, you know, you had to move quickly in business, and you had to really look at opportunities and how they were coming down the pike, and could you really get ahead of the game? because I looked at the marketplace and said, man, I've really still, even though I've got this niche, I've got a lot of competition. So I always ran around with what I call a healthy fear of getting ahead. And 9/11 happened, and you know, everybody in the business was really extremely busy. I mean, you know, rates dropped to 6.5%, and you thought it was a fire sale on money. And I was having the same conversations over and over and over, and I thought, I can't do this. I'm wearing myself out, and I'm getting really bored telling people the same thing. So I literally bought this handheld recorder and recorded, you know, 10 things you need to know about getting the best rate on your mortgage, and took that MP3 and burned disk one at a time. This is when replicatable disk first came on the marketplace, and your computer would burn them one at a time. And I had neato labels that I would, you know, try to get really, you know, not crinkled, but stick them on there right. And so I probably got through about 10 of those CDs, and I went in the marketplace and started handing them out. And there was like, I recognized that there was a sort of a shock that people started to talk to me and differently. They started to have more professional conversations with me. And I'm like, wait a minute, maybe there's something about having this CD that makes me influential in their eyes. So I did that, and you know, I kind of ran through that for a while and took off on that path. And then I ended up getting some photo shoots done at the photographer that were different. They weren't the head in the box stuff. They were, you know, pictures that, you know, like from, you know, me jumping up and down or me waving my arms or pointing at something or whatever. And people started going, wow, you're really into this marketing thing. You're a marketing guy. You're a marketing guy. And they just kept on saying that. When in my mind, I'm just looking at it going, yeah, I am marketing, but I'm just trying to get ahead of you. And so over the time, I ended up writing a book for real estate agents on how to be more successful in sales. I had no clue of how to write a book. I knew I had Microsoft Word. So I just started typing it out one day. I think I even used Lulu back in the day. They had just come on the market. I'm like, well, I'll just use them. I don't know. I just want to get these things printed because I want to be able to hand them out. Because I'm tired of my brochure. Everybody's got a brochure now. Because that's something about business. You know, savvy business people, they swipe and adapt your ideas. And so you've got to always stay one step ahead of the competition. You come out with something, you know, a month later, they're gonna copy it. And I don't blame them. If they're smart, they should. So all these people in the mortgage space and real estate agents were like, man, I want to talk to you about marketing. I want to talk to you about marketing. And what ended up happening was I had been studying Vince McMahon of the WWE. And I was sitting at home one night, and they had this biography on Vince McMahon, and he was talking about how they, you know, really launched the brand of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation or whatever they call it. And one of the things he said that struck me was that he said they would find talent, take Dwayne Johnson, for example, and they would bring him in and, you know, put him in the weight room and bulk him up and teach him how to fall and jump off ropes without breaking his neck and all this kind of stuff. But then they would create a moniker for him. And in his case, it's The Rock. And so when he hits the stage, he's not Dwayne Johnson. He's The Rock, and he's got all these taglines that go along with it. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, that can be really sticky. I wonder if we could use that in the local marketplace. Why not? Why couldn't a local professional have a moniker? Why do they have to just go by their personal name? Why can't they go by something else? Because at the end of the day, Tim Davis, I mean, you Google search Tim Davis, I don't know what you're going to find. But I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
So I've actually got a formula I'll share with everybody on how to come up with a moniker. It'll take a little bit of time, but basically, if you look at the word marketing evangelist, it's an adjective plus a noun. And then you can also do a noun plus a noun, right? You could be the cake queen, right? So if you sell cakes and you're a girl, you could be the cake queen. That's a noun and a noun. So you could go adjective and a noun and a noun. And that's my formula that I use. And so a lot of times with people, I'll have them get a personality assessment from like Standout, for example, because they give you good descriptive words of who you are. And we'll look at those descriptive words or maybe, you know, nicknames that people have called you in the past and what you're trying to accomplish. And then we just brainstorm it out on a piece of paper until we can come up with a good moniker. Like my wife, she lost like 120 pounds. And I'm like, Andy, this is a great story, and she wanted to share it with the world. But how are you gonna stand out when the Biggest Loser's on TV, right? When you've got Jillian Michaels that you're competing against, how do you be different? And Angie Davis is not a unique name, so we did the same formula with her. I'm like a noun plus a noun or an adjective plus a noun. We came up with Slim Down Diva.
Okay.
That becomes very sticky. So if you're out there networking, because I'm a combination of online and offline. I work in a local market, so going to networking events is a very important part of growing business. And so if I go to a networking event, I'm like, hey, I'm Tim Davis, the marketing evangelist. They may not remember Tim Davis, but if they go Google marketing evangelist, it doesn't really matter to me what they do with SEO, because I don't even understand that to begin with. But if you type in marketing evangelist, I'm going to come up.
Yeah, just because you created your own, you know, people want to go after keywords, but you created your own brand and your own category with this, so you are the person that they're going to find when you do that. Now, that's what one thing is I love is that you know, SEO is not, you know, on your radar is stuff that you check every day.
I don't even have a clue of how it works. And I know that some people, they may think, well, that's weird, but it's not even on my radar. But what I do know is if I tell somebody at a networking event I'm the marketing evangelist, or my wife says she's slimmed down diva, or one of my clients says he's the mortgage chef, they remember that. There's just something sticky about nicknames that's not so sticky about personal names.
Yeah, so the marketing evangelist, you say, gives you a leg up over Tim Davis and Associates mortgage professionals, right?
Right, exactly. So when I thought about that for a while and, you know, shared it with a few people, and they're like, that's totally you, and you really need to use that. And again, I kind of was, you know, holding back, and then finally I decided I've really got to get out there and own that. So I started just telling everybody that's what I was. And that's another secret, that people will judge you, but if you tell them who you are, they tend not to disagree with that. They just tend to take it at face value and go with it.
Well, that, you know, that's that right there is a proven principle over and over. I think Brian Tracy, I once heard, said people will take you at your own estimation of yourselves. If you walked into a party and you said, I'm Jack Mize, I'm an astronaut. Oh, really? Wow, that's cool. You know, then they'll just go with it, right? That you do that, don't do that, but it. So many people are in fear of you know, what they're saying, but in reality, you probably think way more about it than others do. One thing I want to do is I want to step back just a little bit, because you said something about when you recorded those audio CDs, right? And because that separated you, and that was something simple, and I, from the way you described it to me, I'd be willing to bet that it wasn't pristine audio, that it probably wasn't perfection, although, you know, you obviously have an eye for really cool and powerful graphics. But back then, when it was all kind of do-it-yourself, burn your own CDs, but the fact that you had a CD, did that instantly elevate you? You talked about how people started talking to you differently in the professional, but was it that, almost like a book, just to kind of illustrate the power of having a book, did they elevate you just for the fact that you had this cool thing before they even heard it? Just the fact that you were Tim Davis, the guy that has an audio training on CD, versus just Tim Davis, the mortgage guy?
Yeah, two things happened there that were really interesting to me. The people that I had been calling on that were really a little bit standoffish with me and like, oh, you're just another mortgage person or whatever, all of a sudden wanted to sit down and talk. Excuse me. Got a little choked up there. Apologize. So I noticed the quality of the conversations I was having with referral partners really elevated. It was almost like we were talking about business, and they were just as much interested in how I accomplished getting that CD done as they were about the material that was on it. And that was fine. And that's kind of how I learned, you know what, if I teach more of this stuff, I can get in front of more real estate agents. So I'll start teaching them what I'm doing. Whether they actually go implement it or not was not really my concern at the time. My concern was, can I build more relationships and write more loans? And that was the first thing. Here's the other thing that kind of happened. My competition, the other loan officers in town that I was competing against, they felt like I had placed the cookie so high on the shelf that they stopped calling on people. So it was almost like I intimidated the competition but wowed the prospective partner. And yeah. So I was really kind of doing two things with one stone. I didn't set out to do it that way. I really set out to solve a problem of getting off the phone. But once I realized what was really transpiring, I'm like, oh, man, we've got to elevate this to another level. We've got to really keep up in our game in this area. And this was back 9/11, you know, this is well before. I didn't even think you could build a WordPress website back then.
Yeah, well, that was a powerful position to be in with, you know, people call and said, oh, you talked to Tim Davis, I lost, you know, to you know, have that kind of, strike that kind of fear into it. But it definitely sounds like that was the beginning of the bridge from Tim Davis, the mortgage guy, to Tim Davis, the marketing guy. You know, so was that a gradual progression, or did all of a sudden one day you woke up and said, whoa, I got more people asking me about how to help them with their marketing, and it looks like there's actually more traction with this than me chasing down more loan business?
Yeah, it's interesting because I got a lot of people that would ask me about it. They would really be intrigued by it, but they would self-stop themselves, and they would want to know how to write a book. They'd want to know how to record a CD, but they would never actually go to the fulfillment stage of it. And so it became really, I guess, Jack, it became frustrating for me because there was a point in time where I thought, you know, I really want to maybe do this, do marketing more than I do want to write loans. But yet, a lot of these people just won't take that next step. And that was really, and to this day, I still run into that. And I still run into people that are like, oh, tell me more, sit with me, talk with me, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then they just stop themselves and they won't actually do it. And they'll come up with a mirage of excuses as to why they're not qualified. And I always tell them, I'm like, look, I'm not qualified. I came from the projects. I tell people all the time, look, we weren't poor because that was way too many vowels to buy. We could only afford the P and the O. We were po. And the truth of the matter is I flunked out of college. I can't spell. I've got more issues when it comes to grammar than you could possibly imagine. But at the same time, I'm like, I understand the power of having a book. So I'm just going to go and fight my way through it and get it done. So it's been sort of a mixture of both. I mean, in the mortgage space, a lot of people come to me, and it's one of the things I did was I wrote a book on how 37 strategies for real estate agents to sell more homes, and I started licensing the content of that book to one loan officer per city. Because I figured, if you're not going to write your own book, I'll just write it for you and be your ghostwriter, and we'll change out the title and the cover, and you can use it in your city. And that was a very successful project. So I think part of it is, as you're kind of going through it, if you start to get pushback, you got to find a way to make it simpler and easier for the people to get involved.
You know, yeah, that's what we found. One, the simplicity, but also going back to your point about them thinking they're not ready, right? And they have, that's the thing that comes to mind. People self-doubt. You'll find people like, that's great. Yeah, I'm really going to do that as soon as something, you know, a switch flips in their brain that says, okay, now I'm worthy of being the person that records the audio, or now I'm worthy of the person that can hand a book out, right? And that's one of the real big reasons that we go and show people that they're educators and advocates rather than trying to convince people they're experts, because it's much easier for them to see themselves as that. Have you found a little switch that gets people to recognize that they do have something of value to position themselves that way? Or does that seem to be the one of the bigger obstacles with getting people to actually move over to that commitment and play in that bigger way?
It's still an obstacle. One of the things I have discovered is, if you fast forward a little bit, one of the things I realized too, back when I was writing mortgage loans, if I spoke more, I gained more influence. So if I had my own CD and I did my own lunch and learn, boy, you talk about the influence really started to go up. Or if I had my own book and my own lunch and learn, influence really started to escalate. And so I started doing that, and then I realized that all these people were having this problem. They wanted to know more about it. They were very interested, especially real estate agents. I mean, they see themselves as a commodity. They see themselves in a, you know, sea of competition constantly. And I kind of had started to break down some of these barriers of how do you get past those obstacles. And I wrote a book called Marketing You. I thought, man, this is my breakout book. I mean, yeah, Jimmy Kimmel may call me and put me on the Tonight Show or something for this. And so I wrote this book. It was called Marketing You, and it was 11 gospel truths of you know, making yourself a brand, I think was my subtitle. And that kind of went along with the marketing evangelist thing, because what I do with that is I bring a lot of Christian-based terminology into the into the fold. And for some people, it distracts them, and they're like, I can't deal with that, Tim. And other people are like, man, that's the best stuff ever because they get it. I was actually speaking at a group one time. This lady came up to me afterwards, and she goes, I love how you use all the biblical references to illustrate your points on branding. And I was like, that's great. What church do you go to? She goes, I don't go to church. I'm an atheist. And I just looked at her and I said, well, I would have figured you'd been the last person. I'm surprised you didn't get up and leave. And she goes, no, I just love the creativity. So I wrote this book called Marketing You, and I put it out there, and I thought, man, everybody's going to love me for this. And like, nobody wanted it. Nobody was really interested in it. And I really struggled with why not, because I thought the content was pretty good. But at the same time, I thought, well, maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I'm doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. Maybe I'm way too far outside the normal. And I thought about it, and just one night in the middle of the night, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, well, it's really developing their personal brand. And I'm like, oh, personal brand, personal branding mastery. So I went and I immediately said, is personalbrandingmastery.com available? And it was. And so I immediately bought it, and I changed the title to Personal Branding Mastery. And then everybody wanted a copy.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, titles matter. People do judge a book by the cover.
Yeah, just that difference. Yeah, that really is a great illustration of how those little things can make a big difference.
Small tweak. So I thought, wow, let me put this out there. And people really wanted it, especially real estate agents. And then I decided, well, I'm going to create a seminar out of this, a personal branding mastery seminar. And I think the first one we did had like 80 people show up. And at that point, I knew I was on to a hot topic. And I really didn't have a sequence order of how to break it down. And I really didn't have a product offering to give them. I was just really teaching them. And I was just saying, hey, you know, come up with 10 questions that your customers ask you all the time. Record a CD. Get the labels. You know, punch and make it go. I, at that point, I had zero product. I was still writing loans, doing some coaching, doing some training. But we were getting, all the real estate agents were coming to our seminars. And other loan officers were like, well, we hate you, Tim. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I guess you're just going to have to hate, because I think I'm onto something here, and I'm just going to keep driving this train home. And that's kind of how it sort of evolved. And that's why you see the personal branding mastery, marketing evangelist stuff. And that's how I ended up at this mortgage company now. I was really out there doing these seminars. What I would do would be, I would pick a city, and then I would, you know, call, I have a list of 10 mortgage companies in that city. Say, hey, I've got this training on personal branding mastery. We average about 63 agents. I figured it up. We average about 63 agents per seminar. Would your loan officers like to meet 63 agents and possibly do their loans? I'm looking for a sponsor to come to the city. Here's the sponsorship fee. And if you want to bring me in, and I'll promote your mortgage company. I usually had to make one or two phone calls before somebody said yes.
Yeah, I mean, that right there is just such a great win-win-win for everyone around to be able to do that. Now, did you use the fact that, you know, your book and you know, you were the marketing evangelist at this point. Had you already come up with the image that you have? Was there something that if they just quickly went to check you out that they say, whoa, okay, this guy's the real deal?
No, I didn't have that image at that time. And I tell this people in my seminars all the time, I'm like, look, your brand's not built overnight. It's built over time. So get started with what you have, where you are, and just continually improve it along the way. So, you know, I think it was maybe last year or 2 years ago that this company came out called Loudmouth Golf, and I saw these pair of pants, and they were paintball splatters. And I'm like, that is totally me. I'm buying those pants. And so I bought those pants, and I would, like, wear them to work and stuff. And people would have conversations with me. I didn't have to start conversations because at the end of the day, there is a part of me that's kind of introverted. So if I'm at a party, I may not come up and talk to you. I know that sounds goofy and crazy, but that's just the truth. Sometimes I'd just rather sit at my home by myself. But if I wear crazy britches, then you come talk to me about them.
And then that opens it up. You let the pants open up the conversation for you. But I think what I want to make a point is that you didn't go immediately where one day you were the guy trying to figure it out to the next day, the marketing evangelist with your jacket, your paintball splattered jacket, and your shoes and everything. That it's something that evolved. And a lot of people think that that in order to do that, if they're going to come up with a brand, they have to come up with that in brand and completely transform immediately to put that out there, because and they'll sit stagnant while they're waiting for all those pieces to be ready and just perfect. But this is something that evolved over the course of time. How long did that evolution take from you to get from, you know, the Tim Davis mortgage professional to the marketing evangelist? And you said when you first started doing these seminars, you weren't even at that point yet, but you were still able with one or two phone calls to get people to sponsor you to come into their town and do your talks.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think it's still ongoing. But I think it comes down to the ownership part of it. So if you do more to own it, people, I think a lot of times fall into this trap that they're going to create the next Pac-Man, and everybody's going to go, oh my gosh, it's Pac-Man. We've been waiting for this our entire lives. And they're going to create this viral phenomenon just because they had an idea. And that's really the exception, not the rule. Most things that become viral because somebody pushes the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And they really create it like, oh my gosh, this is the thing. You know, back to when I was doing loans for self-employed people, one of the calls I got one day was from a CPA on Music Row. And he turned out to be my biggest referral partner. 1 year alone, he referred me over $16 million in business. Just in 1 year, he outpaced every real estate agent there was. But he did all the self-employed people's tax returns in the music industry. And so I'm sitting down in his office one day, and I'm like, hey, you know, you're always saying about these music guys are just, you know, country bumpkins that make good, and, you know, they're all rednecks. I mean, you're always kind of cracking on them a little bit. I mean, but, you know, I see their billboards down on, you know, Broadway and stuff like that. And he goes, dude, these guys get off a bus with a dream and a guitar and some dirty boots. And he said, go over to Sony and talk to their brand manager. The minute they think that they're worth something, they immediately take them out and put new clothes on them, get them styled up, and take them over and get a photo shoot done. Then they get some graphic design. They blow up this big billboard like they're the second coming or whatever. And they just really infuse into people that to get the public to believe, oh, my gosh, this person's great. I never heard of him before. Why did I not know about this person?
Wait a minute. Are you saying they manufacture authority and celebrity? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they manufacture it.
Well,
out of nowhere.
The nerve.
I know it. So I thought, well, why couldn't I do that in the mortgage space? Why couldn't I do that anywhere else? Well, if I'm an insurance salesman, if I'm a real estate agent, why couldn't I do that? And so you fast forward, it sort of just gets built over time, and then I come up with the marketing evangelist thing, and that's catchy, and people are like, oh, that's funny, that's cool, I remember that. I'm thinking, okay, well, that now I've got something that sticks, and what will my image be? And I come across these paintball pants, and then they sell a paintball jacket, and I've got the whole suit, and I'm thinking, all right, I'll go down there and, you know, get my picture made in that, and that gets a lot of viral hits on Facebook because some people think I'm nuts, and some people think it's funny, and I don't know what people think. I just know that they show up.
And that's what's important.
Exactly. And so when it comes down to it, meeting you guys has been a huge help for me because it's really given me products to monetize the brand.
Yeah, it fits right in. It fit right into what you were doing. It wasn't like you came and, hey, here's this whole new thing for me to do. You thought, man, I have these, you know, these little empty vessels as on my machine, and this plugs in perfectly to it, I guess.
Correct. I mean, I could put people in a room, and I could get them to show up, and I could get a mortgage lender to give me a check for doing it. But that was the end of it, right? They never really wanted to advance the ball any further. So when you guys came along, it was really a no-brainer for me to get involved because I thought, okay, I can pitch this authority. I can get people on the news, and they're going to love this, and that will be my product sale. And if they want to advance to a book or they want to advance to, you know, photo shoots and all that other kind of stuff, I'll make that upsells. But this will just be an entryway for them. And yeah. So I've played around with that.
So, yeah, so that's really well. So that's what I want to talk about is how, you know, you were doing these events. And like you said, it kind of stopped at the event. You got somebody to pay you to put the event together. You made, you know, you got the mortgage folks and the real estate folks to make connections while you gave some good content. But now, recently, so you've kind of been making some of this authority stuff your pitch at the events. You know, not say I'm trying to sell this whole big package of everything, but I think what are you doing now? You're doing like a news release or a story on them as kind of the entry level package that you're doing with agents now?
Right. So my overall brand's Personal Branding Mastery Seminars, right? And you can put, you know, all kinds of different subcategories underneath that. So my talk that I'm giving right now is, you know, Personal Branding Mastery, get featured on the news and turn that into paying clients. And so that's a little 45-minute talk that I do that I just did one in Atlanta. They paid me to come down, so I got my sponsorship fee. And then they had 85 people that showed up for this, 85 real estate agents. And so I'm talking to 85 people in the room. I give them, you know, the 45-minute spiel, and that's in. I basically give them my opportunity to get on the news. And I say, if you'd like to be featured, we'll help you, you know, come up with your story, get you out there. And I just give them the pitch. And in Atlanta, we sold 8 of those. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah, well, right. How does it compare to your sponsorship? You know, does it make a substantial or appreciable difference in just going there for sponsorship to going there for sponsorship money and getting 8 new clients into your funnel with that?
Yeah. So you look at it this way. I've got, you know, $1,500 in sponsorship dollars just to go down there, right? So I get $1,500 to show up, and then 8 people that bought the product. So I offered it at $9.97, but 50% off if you bought that day. So you could get it for $498.50. And 8 people sign up at $500. Well, how much is that?
Well, yeah,
that's not a bad day.
You just quadrupled almost your I'm terrible with the digits, but multiples of your sponsorship fee. And do you have to share that with anybody, or is that's yours for showing up and putting it together?
My wife.
Yeah.
I have to share that with a slim down diva.
Well, that goes without saying. Or she shares it with you if you're lucky, right?
Right. Exactly.
So just changed your whole business model, and it makes it probably a lot more exciting to go do a talk.
Listen, Jack, here's what I'm going to do for 2015. I make a nice living at the mortgage company, because in Nashville, if I host an event, real estate agents show up, because I've been doing it for the last 15 years. And I think that's an important part that people need to know. My first seminar I did, 3 people showed up, myself, my assistant, and 1 real estate agent. That wasn't a seminar. That was barely a meeting.
Almost an intervention, huh?
Right. If I would have given up on the concept 15 years ago when it was just us in that room and said, this doesn't work, I wouldn't be doing it today. But I knew back then that getting people in a room worked. I liked the concept of selling one to many. It was proven by other people. I just sucked at it. So I had to figure a way not to suck anymore.
Yeah, I like that terminology. You had to figure out a way not to suck anymore. Not you had to figure out a way to get perfect at it. You just had to figure out a way not to suck anymore.
I had to figure out a way to go from 1 person to 10 people in a room. If I could get 10 people, that was a huge victory. And then if I could get 12 or 15 or whatever. So I think there's a lot to be said about stick-to-itiveness and just staying with something and perfecting it along the way, but not being afraid to try along the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that's where, you know, you find your biggest successes is through happy accidents a lot of times. When things work out like that. Now, so one of the things that I want to make sure to bring up is that you've taken this even further, you know, obviously the personal branding, but you've circled back around to your graphics background. And you have a really good eye, and certainly some of the things that I've seen that you've done for some of your clients has been mixing in your graphic knowledge with your marketing knowledge and then the authority to put together a pretty irresistible package for these folks, because they could probably immediately see that, okay, I'm definitely going to stand out with if I work with Tim.
So what I've discovered is this, Maxwell Maltz, I know you're familiar with that guy,
yep.
You know, Psycho Cybernetics, right? We can never outperform the self-image we have of ourselves. Shocking how many people have a poor self-image of themselves. They may not portray it on Facebook, But internally, they're sitting there thinking, man, I'm terrible. I'm this, I'm that. I've got a mole on my face. I've got this. I've got, you know, they're just ashamed of so many things. So I added the photography and the graphic design to it because of this reason and this reason alone. When we get them out of a photo shoot and get a nice graphic design banner for them, say for a social media banner, they see themselves differently. And the confidence boost they get from that is amazing. I spent 5 years coaching sales professionals in the mortgage industry. And at the end of the day, sales is sales, right? Meet more people, go build rapport, you know, find the need, propose a solution, ask for the business. I don't know how many ways you can say that. But there would be sales professionals that won't do that. Well, why won't they do that? They lack confidence. So I added the whole graphic design piece because when somebody sees themselves on a design that we do, just did one for a real estate agent named Todd Bresky. The guy told me in the beginning he would never do a video. He was ashamed to be on video. After we got his package back to him of his new brand, he started doing videos.
That's amazing. It's like because a makeover.
He sees himself different.
It's like a complete authority makeover.
Yeah.
And that's an emotional ride. That's not a tactical or a, you know, something you give a menu with parts or pieces or features. That's a complete kind of emotional ride. We're going to transform you. And people, you know, transformation is much bigger than its pieces, right? And I think being able to tap into that the way you have done it, transformation is far more valuable than the collective pieces it takes to make that transformation happen. Because, you know, when you're looking at transformation, but technically you're just talking about some pictures, knowing how to use Photoshop, and, you know, putting out some press releases. But when you put that all together and position it the way that you do, I mean, it's tremendous. I mean, you know, what a value, a real value that you provide by putting this stuff together the way you do.
In the space that I work in, mortgage and real estate, there's one key driver for a lot of people is the ones that really want to get to the next level. Right, they really want to advance their business. Whenever somebody else does something, boy, they jump on the bandwagon quick. And, you know, I know there's people in the authority, you know, Facebook membership site, and they talk about real estate agents maybe going after that market. One thing they have to realize is that the majority of that market is very tight-fisted with their cash. So they're not going to pay you $7,500 to be on the news or some, you know, high-ticket amount. I found $498.50. is a sweet spot to do a news release for them.
Yeah. And it's not just they're tight-fisted, they're broke.
Yes. Right. They got no money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, if you got to understand, 80% of that market is flat broke and they have no money. So, I make the, you got to put the cookies on a shelf where they can get to it. Right? And so, the $498.50, you know, half off $997, that's what I found is a sweet spot, and that sells. Right. Then, once they're in that portion of the funnel, all I need is one of them to get a graphic design package. Because the others are watching that one, and they're sitting there going, oh, crap, you know, Steve's getting out of the box. We're going to have to catch up with Steve. We're going to have to just bite the bullet and get it ourselves.
Well, that's the one thing that you got to do. Anybody that's spent any time in the real estate industry knows that they are notorious copycat cookie cutter. They just feast on cookie cutter stuff. That, you know, that the real estate, you know, the marketing engine behind real estate is built on cookie cutter. You know, how many agents have the exact same website, giving away the exact same report with their exact same glamour shots photo, because they're doing what they see the next guy doing. And for you to be able to step out of this and offer something besides the cookie cutter, because, I mean, you see that if an agent needs a website, they're going, these, you know, here, pick between these three real estate websites, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it's easier for you to actually attract the cream, to attract the people that aren't broke, the people that are actually have traction in their business by showing them a way to stand out. By working with someone like you that understands something that looks very, very different and way more powerful and effective than what they're used to seeing every day in that cookie cutter real estate marketing industry.
Correct. Correct. And that's where, you know, meeting you guys, you and Brian, and having the ability to do the news releases really became my entry point to moving them up the ladder, right? So if they start off with a news release and they have some success with that, then all of a sudden I can move them up the ladder of, hey, you know, we really should look at a book for you. We really should look at a, you know, photography and a design package for you. We really should escalate this up a little bit, maybe an audio interview and you're on CD. So the news portion really is the best product I've had. And it's just been huge. So I'm very appreciative, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, I think it's the biggest piece of it is you are the one that goes in there and makes it happen. You take advantage of it, and you turn it into that valuable piece, and you position it as that valuable piece. And I think that's why... you know, you're able to make it work so well for what you are doing. So I've kept you on here for quite some time, and you've given us a ton of information. One of the things that I know that, you know, your work is so striking. If other agents have any interest in pinging you, is it something that you do that if they have a client that's interested in your branding or the you know the image, the photoshopping, the you know the graphics pieces that you do, is that something that you have the ability or even interest in letting other people tap into your resource for that?
Oh yeah, I'd be glad to. You know, if you wanted to go to, I know so many people in the group are Facebook people, right? And probably the easiest way for them to reach me is just go to facebook.com marketing evangelist. They can message me or ping me there. We'll offer white label services for that. You know, if they have clients that really want that high end feel or look to the graphic design, yeah, we'll be glad to work with them on that and do some white label packages so they can just sort of expand their offerings as well within the business that they're trying to build. So.
Yeah. Cause I mean that, you know, the look of that is just really, it's really striking compared to what most people have available to them. So it's, I think it's a big part of it and definitely a talent that you have for putting this together. So I appreciate you doing that. Any last words for agents, any words of encouragement, inspiration that they should know about, you know, having the ability to do this kind of stuff for folks?
You just do it afraid. Yeah. I'm serious. I mean, you do it afraid. You do it with the self-doubt, all this stuff. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people will say, Tim, man, you come off so confident. Look, I talk myself into confidence every time. Every time I do a talk, I'm thinking, oh, these guys are going to laugh me off stage. I talk myself into it. And, you know, I just keep reminding myself, I'm not looking for anybody. I'm looking for somebody. And I think that's the key. You've just got to get out there on some level and really just, you know, be brave and put yourself out there. Just go out there and offer. And you're going to get critics, and you're going to get all these other kind of people that are saying this, that, or the other. You have to find a way to just ignore it and keep moving on until you find that yes. And then once you find that yes, just exploit the living daylights out of it. I mean, get that person that loves it just to, you know, make videos and testimonials and all kinds of stuff for you. Just that's what I would tell people. I mean, you know it's true. You just got to take action.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect. I appreciate you coming on to this call and sharing this, and it's you know, been a spotlight that I've been wanting to do for some time. So thank you very much.
Cool. Hey, man, I just appreciate the opportunity to share, man. So if anybody got something, swipe and adapt.
There you go, folks. Tim Davis, the marketing evangelist, and this is a guy that's out there doing it, moving forward, and building day by day. So just a tremendous example. To see someone that's out there making things happen. So until next time, if you have a story, you have something you want to share, an inspiration with your success with Authority Marketing, let me know so we can do a spotlight on you. And until next time, like I always say, remember, you are the only real game changer.